Okay, on to the sermon. Are you ready? Foundations and coordinates. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 17. Foundations and coordinates. Some churches, they have this saying or this phrase, that, and they call it their pillars that they build the church on. I didn't want to call it pillars. I wanted to call it foundations because I want it to be more solid than a pillar. Because, you know, you sleep at night and lay your head on a pillar. So it's not, I don't know why they use that term. But anyway, I wanted to use foundations. But not only are these words love, learn, grow, go, not only are they our foundations that God has for us in this season, but they are also our coordinates. So we build our faith, we build our church on these words, but these words are also the direction. They help us narrow our direction and point us in the direction that we should go. So they're also our coordinates. These are the four words that I felt like God gave us 2 years ago for this church in this season. Love, learn, grow, and go. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, and kind of God continues to reveal things about these words to me. So let's get into it. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself, or he restored the relationship between God and mankind. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Love, learn, grow, go are foundational doctrines for this time. Let's talk about love for a little bit. Of course, I talk about love because almost every sermon, almost every Bible story boils down to love on some level. Love. Now, this is agape love that we're talking about. And there is, in the Bible, there's, I think, three or four different translations that the English version put into love, but the Greek had four different words. Eros, phileo, and agape. Agape and phileo are the ones, too, that's used the most. But we translate it just into love. So I want to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the agape love, not phileo love. For instance, in Matthew 6:5, it says, when you pray, you are not like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. That love is phileo. It's a fondness. They're fond of the attention that they get. So we're going to talk about agape love. Now, all of us have probably heard or tried to explain or heard someone try to explain the definition of agape love, because it's very different. We hear words like affection, benevolence, charity, and things like that. In researching this word, I found that Vine's expository said this about it, and I want to share it with you. The characteristic word of Christianity. And since the Spirit of Revelation has used this word to express ideas previously unknown, inquiry into its use, whether in Greek literature or in the Septuagint, throws but little light upon its distinctive meaning in the New Testament. In other words, it is difficult to come up with a good description and definition for this word, agape love. It is unlike any other kind of love that's ever talked about in the history of mankind. It's different. It's more. It's better. So what we have to do is examine how it's used in the Bible, this agape love. we see that it's used, and I'll give you some uses here. We'll fly through some scriptures just to kind of get an idea of how the New Testament uses this agape love word. It's described to describe the attitude of God toward his son in John 17:26. Also in God's attitude towards mankind in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Also to convey his will to his children concerning their attitude to one another is agape love. That's in John 13:34, when Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." Also, we see it used to express the essential nature of God. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love." With all of these uses, we're kind of getting an idea of a definition of love. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I said gifts, I meant fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Which is interesting, because this agape love isn't something that you just automatically feel. It's not anything that you can muster up yourself. You don't make this. The Holy Spirit is the producer of this gift, of this fruit. He's inside of you, and when we become saved, and he produces certain things, certain characteristics. One of them is love, this agape love. We get that for free, okay? It also seems to be one of the greatest attributes in the Bible. Like we read a lot about it in 1 Corinthians 13:13. "But now faith, hope, and love abide in these, but the greatest of these is love." And he says many times that, you know, without, even though you do these great things, without love, it doesn't mean anything. We also see that it is all-inclusive and requires nothing in return, and requires nothing to maintain it. If you don't get love back, it does not affect your agape love to others. Even if you get hate back, it does not affect your agape love to others. Look at Luke 6. If you love, starting with verse 32. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." We get nothing back, and it does not change our love for others. "If you vote differently than I do, I still agape love you." I had to throw it in there. Whatever it is, we're going to love you anyway. Another thing we read about it, it's the greatest commandment. We all know, have probably heard this one in Matthew 22:36-40. They ask Jesus, "Well, what's the greatest command?" They're trying to trip him up. And he says, "Well, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God." He said, "The second is like it. Love each other as yourself." Love others as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Another thing that we read about it seems that agape love, there's one thing that is required with agape love, and that is action. We see action linked with agape love all the time. We can say things about other types of love. "I love pizza And I can say that without going and buying a pizza. I can say different things about love. But when I say agape love, it needs to be followed with some sort of action. For instance, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, obviously, something shows that you can physically see. Well, they're going to know I'm a Christian because I go to church, or because I wear a cross, or I have this Christian t-shirt. They're going to know you're Christian because of how you love. Regardless of what you do, regardless of all of the wonderful things that you could do, they may not recognize you as a Christian until they notice your love. Think about that. It does require an action. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, agape. John 14:31, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. There is a selfless, humble action that accompanies this love without any need for reciprocity. But I want to say this in all truthfulness. I could give scriptures and descriptions and words all day long. The best way that you're going to find out about agape love is if you ask God to help you learn about it. That's how you're going to find out about it. I began to pray. In most of my prayers, I pray, God, I want to learn how to love. Like, I love people. I've been in ministry most of my life, so I love the church and I love people. But this agape love is so deep that I think I could learn about it forever and not really truly get it all. And lately, even, I've found that God is beginning to grow this agape love in me, and I'm beginning to see people differently. I'm beginning to react to things differently because of agape love, and it's not even anything that I can explain. I think we have to learn this from God. God, teach us all more about love, your love. Amen. There are no words in any language, I believe, that can comprehensively define that word, agape. It takes an encounter from God. And then I want to talk about this next word, learn. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, we're very familiar with that part, but there's a little bit more to that sentence. And learn from me. And learn, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Paul wrote in Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. We need hope in this day. This world needs hope. Let's learn about hope. Let's grow our knowledge in the perseverance and the encouragement of Scripture. We might have hope. Paul tells us a lot in his letters, and a lot in the letters he wrote to the churches, how to firmly, the importance of being firmly established in the Word of God and how to grow in the knowledge of God. He says in Colossians, and we've been studying Colossians on Sunday, Wednesday nights, Colossians 1:21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. One of the reasons I believe this word learn is so important for us in our foundations of our Christianity is because there could possibly come a day, and may have happened already in your life, that people try to sway you away from the Bible or away from Christianity. They may even use parts of the Bible to make it look like they are staying within Scripture, and yet they are not. We find in Colossians that a lot of warnings to the churches. It almost seems like someone was trying to come in and teach them a heresy. And Paul, time and time again, said, be firmly established. Grow in your knowledge. Know what you believe and why you believe that way. Right? Know what you believe and know why you believe that way. And also, if you don't know for sure and someone brings it up, you know where to go and get the answers. Amen? So, know what you believe and why you believe that way. Learn. You see, we begin to get interested in something. I'm going to explain how all these line up. We begin to get interested in something. We develop a love for this something. And then we begin to learn about this thing. And then when we begin to learn about it, we begin to practice it. We begin to grow in it. We're going to try this on for size. Maybe see if we can get physically comfortable with it. And then eventually we take this new thing of ours, this new love of ours, and we go so that we can show this new thing to other people. Love, learn, grow, go. We love and learn. We're getting that within us. We grow and go. We're going out like that. It's kind of like this. If, let's say I woke up one morning and said, honey, I've always wanted to learn how to play the bagpipes. Yeah. Bagpipe music is so beautiful. I love it. It would be so awesome. I think we should buy some bagpipes and I'll start learning how to play the bagpipes. She may not be too excited about that, but for example. And so I have this love for bagpipe music, and I've got some musical ability, so maybe I'll learn how to play bagpipes. So I find that I have this love. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is watch a YouTube video on how to play bagpipes, right? Everybody knows that, especially this front row. That's the first thing you do. We watch YouTube videos, or I take lessons, and I learn how to play the bagpipes, and I'm learning this, and then I begin to put it into practice, because I don't want this awesomeness of me playing bagpipes to be just for me. No, I cannot deny the world of the talent. The sound is going to be wonderful. So I begin to grow in this and practice. I become comfortable with it, and I'm practicing all in hopes of at some point going and being on this stage in front of you all and playing a beautiful song with bagpipes. Right? Now, yes. But that's kind of what that's like. We love something and we learn about it, we begin to practice it, we grow in it, and we go and share it with other people. But here's the beauty of that in Christianity. We experience, encounter the love of God, and we begin to learn about it because we're curious now. This is wonderful. We learn about it and we learn more about God. And so we begin to step out and begin to tell people about this. And then pretty soon we're going in order to influence people with the love of God. Now they've experienced and had an encounter with God's love, and they begin to learn about it, and we have this never-ending cycle of the growth of the family of God. Isn't that awesome? It's the duality of Christianity. Because, you know, I love this. Sometimes life gets tough. There's a bottom line somewhere, and I'm not budging off of this bottom line. Our bottom line as Christians is, number one, to reconcile our relationship back with God. Like we read in Colossians, Jesus died to reconcile you back to God, to restore mankind's relationship with the Almighty God. because we're not holy enough on our own, but with his sacrifice, we can now have a relationship with the Almighty Father. And the second part of our Christianity is to take this love and this relationship and share it with other people. Go ye into all the world. It's a double thing. Like we read also in 2 Corinthians 5, we are now ambassadors. Jesus was on earth pointing people to God. When he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit so we could then take over his job and point people to God, influencing them with the love of God. The examples that we have is this. You know, the greatest commandment is two-part. Love God, love each other. The Ten Commandments, the first four are about your relationship with God, and the next six is about your relationship with others. Even in the verse I just mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, we become new creatures, and then we reconcile people back to God. We influence them with the love of God. Our foundations and coordinates represent that never-ending cycle of the growth of the family of God. We need God, but we need each other. And one of the things that I see today in this world is that I think that we need more of each other. We're all slipping into this idea that we can be hermits. And it's not, I think it's making people cranky. Has anybody but me noticed that the traffic on the highway is more angry than usual? Wow. Has anybody watched that show? It's called Alone. Raise your hand. It's about they send people out into the wilderness to stay there, right? Okay, several of you have watched that. I think it's Discovery Channel or something like that. What they do is they take these outdoor experts. I mean, they know how to hunt and fish and make a cabin and make a fire and take care of themselves and to eat off the land and all this kind of stuff. And they take them out to different places in the world. It's never in the United States because I don't think it'd be legal here, to be honest with you. But some places in Canada and things like that, up into the mountains where it's cold, there's nothing. There's no electricity and nothing. Then they drop them off by themselves, and they go several miles and drop somebody else off. They never see each other. They're there on this island or out in the wilderness. Now, when they first land, the funny thing is one of the things that no one worries about is being alone. Like the part of, I don't get to see anybody else, they're like, that's going to be easy. That's the easy part. It's the getting the food and fishing and providing for yourself, that's going to be tough. But being alone, I can do that for the rest of my life probably. And I've heard people say, and I've said this before, sometimes I think I would make a good hermit. But for those that have watched the show, can attest that about 3 weeks into this, the toughest people start going nuts because they have no human contact. And I've seen the biggest, baddest guys just break down and cry and start talking to things and going crazy and talking crazy. I mean, it's amazing. There's been some times that I was worried for people's psyche because they're without people. And I thought during this day and age, one of the things that we need is people. We need God, but we need each other. They did a test. I learned this in psychology. They did a test on some babies in 1944, and it sounds terribly cruel, but they kept these babies away from human contact. They gave them the same care as other babies. They provided shelter and food and everything else, but no human contact. And the babies didn't survive. It's terrible on you physically to not have human contact. Now, sometimes we have to remind ourselves, because the traffic is so crazy, it's like, man, these people are crazy. But you need those people. Maybe not to be driving around you, but you need those people. In 2017, one author wrote this in a magazine called Hello Motherhood. Newborns denied physical contact with other humans can actually die from this lack of contact, even when provided with proper nutrition and shelter. An article in Psychology Today in 2013 says more Americans live alone than ever before. One in four Americans report not having a single person to talk to about important issues. Loneliness among American adults has increased by 16% in the last decade, and this is before COVID-19 hit. My point is, we are designed as humans to interact with other humans. It's a basic need. It's in our DNA. And also, on top of that, we are designed as Christians to influence other humans with the love of God. That is in the DNA of the new creature that you are. That's part of who you are now. Just as much as a human has to have interact with other humans, we have to have this interaction that shows the love of God to people. We are ministers of reconciliation, like Paul said, ambassadors for Christ. It's one of our basic needs as a Christian. We can't force it on people, obviously. That's been tried. That doesn't work. Jesus didn't force it on anybody, but he influenced people with the love of God. Thousands of people while he was alive, and then millions. It keeps on growing and growing even after he's gone, influencing people with the love of God. That's our design. Love one another even as I have loved you. We grow in order to go. And then we start this part where we are going out. Mark 16:15, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now here's the good part. So I don't want you to get nervous at this scripture, because we get nervous at this go word. Our go may look a little bit differently than other people's go. For instance, my son, Makobi, and a lot of you have been keeping up with him. He just got back from a trip to Tanzania. And his go looked like this. He worked for this organization, Christ for All Nations, and he goes out to the streets in Tanzania, to the schools. He's preaching the gospel to kids at the schools and the streets. He's praying for people, seeing them healed. He's casting out demons in people. And that is his go. As a matter of fact, one of his great stories, he may want to share this with you, but he found himself, his team, some of them got sick, so he was by himself. He went to this school. He said there's like 300 or 400 kids out there in this big area outside, and he's preaching the gospel to them. And he's by himself. He has no other team members with him. One of the teachers comes up to him beside him and says, excuse me, sir, there's a girl over there in the back that has a demon. And he said, sure enough, I saw this girl when I began to preach the gospel. She fell down, and I didn't see her anymore, so I didn't know what happened. And he said a teacher came up to him and said, sir, there's a girl back there that has a demon. Can you help us? So he goes back there and casts the demon out of her and goes on. But how incredible is that? But that is his go. Now, he is unable to go unless there are people willing to help him go financially and prayerfully. And that can be our go as well. Just like we have Pedro that goes to Ecuador. And here's another great story. We chose Pedro's mission to Ecuador as one of our missions that we're going to give to monthly. Pedro is from Missouri, and he goes to Ecuador, and he's very giving. He takes no money into this for himself, and he goes to Ecuador, and he starts churches, and he teaches and trains pastors and things like that. He was coming back from Ecuador one day, and he called Chris when Chris was here, and this was right after we decided to send him money, but we didn't tell him. We just started sending him money on a monthly basis. And he says, I came back, and on the way back, I was so sad and troubled because I kept praying, God, what are we going to do? Because he's got a church that he can't keep open. There was no funds to keep it open or to repair it, and he was going to have to shut it down. And he said, that's not our purpose. We're here to grow the kingdom, not to shut this church down. They need this church. He goes to these little villages up in the mountains of Ecuador where a lot of people never go or even can get to. And he said that same weekend that this happened, he began to receive funds from Bethel Church Choctaw, from you. There's a church in Ecuador, and people attending that church and learning about Jesus and encountering the love of God because of you and your gifts. So thank you for that. That is your go. We have a couple, the Orenbergs in Vanuatu, that we send money to, and they are writing the Bible in the language there for some tribes that do not have a Bible in their language at all. That's your go. And go looks very differently. Even Pastor Stephen and his family have a go that looks differently than that. And they're going to an area that God needs them to be at to impact as many lives as possible for the family of God. That's his go. These boxes that you see lined up around here, that's a go. We are going, and we're giving these boxes and these love items to these kids, and they are encountering the love of God. And then they begin to learn about it. And then they begin to grow, and they begin to go and tell others about the love of God. These boxes are a go. That's how we go. This week, someone gifted my family with a certain amount of money, and later that day, I got a call about a certain need in my family that they needed a certain amount of money. And I said, well, how much is it? And they told me the very same amount that I had just received in this letter. On the same day, the exact amount, the exact day, God says, yep, you can't get nothing past me. I'm going to help you out. And it touched my heart so much because it's like God reminds us sometimes and say, I'm still here and I still have your back. Now, here's the interesting part, though. Could we have gotten the money together to help out our family? Yes, we could have. But when I call that family member and I say, well, guess what happened? And I tell them the story, they now have been influenced by the love of God. That brings them closer back to God, restoring their relationship with God because they've encountered love through somebody in our audience that gifted us, that is their go. They may not even understand how precisely that they were obeying God. The Spirit told him to give, and not only the very day, but the same amount. I love it when God really surprises us like that. Ta-da! You know, there's a verse in Chronicles that says, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. The King James Version, I like the wording here. It says, to show himself strong. Our go may look differently than other people's go. Our go this year may look differently than our go did last year. this week I had a certain day that my heart became very heavy because I think because maybe the shape of the world, because of things on social media or the news, the things happening in our world, the things happening in our culture, this pandemic, the split in the nation seems wider than it has ever in my lifetime. And this pandemic that's going around and people quarantining themselves and being alone, and my heart became heavy because of the loss and the sickness in our, you know, around us. And I thought, God, I just came in here and prayed, and I said, God, I so want our people to be happy, to be joyful, and to feel peace and love. And he said, oh, that's interesting. I do too. And that's why I've provided that for them. I said, yes, that's true. You see, with the Spirit of God, we get fruit and gifts. Like I was saying earlier about the love, he provides that within us to give us strength and comfort to face the tough times that we go through and to be able to influence other people with that same love. We're able to face our trials with courage and be confident of victory. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. It's going to be okay. I know that in this message today I've kind of been broader focused than normal. But I wanted to add in these things that we build our faith on. Our love. We're learning about God. Growing in those gifts and talents that God has given us. And then going and sharing those gifts and talents and the love of God with other people. Two things that I request that you take home with you today. These final two things. Number one, we need God. We need each other. It is in our DNA to share God's love. As a Christian, we feel incomplete if we're not sharing the love of God. And number two, use these products that God has created on the inside of you from the very Spirit of God to comfort and strengthen you through dark days. Because those same products will influence the culture around you with the love of God. When we love, we begin to learn, we begin to grow, and we begin to go influence our culture so that it continues on. Because of the comforter that God has put on the inside of us, if you would stand with me, please. What this world needs most of all is on the inside of us as Christians. And what we need is to share that same love with people. I pray that God grow us in this love, grow us in these gifts, and give us opportunities to really go and influence our culture. If today you're here and you haven't encountered God in that way, and or maybe you have, but you haven't given your life to God, and you want to make sure that you go to heaven, but more importantly, you want to make sure that you have a relationship with the Almighty God, the creator of this world. paid a big price to adopt you into his family. If that's you today and you haven't given your life to Christ yet, I want you to come up here and let's pray. Let me pray with you. If you're watching online and that's you and you want to give your heart and life to Christ, I want you to call a number. I want you to call me. Whether it's today or 2 years from now, call this number, 405-200-5712. Because I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. It'll either be my wife or myself that answer that line. 200-5712. The most important thing we can do is restore our relationship back with God. And then when you get that down, we can influence others to do the same. Amen. We have a few moments. If you'd like to come to the front, you have a need that you would like for us to pray with you, I want to open up the front altars now. Pastor Temple and myself, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Keith will all get with you and pray with you. Lord, we don't want to rush your move. We rely on you and everything that you want from us and for us in this service. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's join in singing this song. Feel like coming down the front for prayer, or if you want to pray by yourself and kneel at the altar, that's fine too.
Day and night, night and day.
Thank you so much to each and every one of you. Take with you the ability that God has put inside of you to influence the people around you with the love of God. Amen. Be an impact. You are dismissed. Jill and I love you. Thank you very much. Have a great day.